Let's see, it's 23 February. It's Wednesday. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the CG Midweek Prophecy Report. The gates of hell. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. All right, from Desert Review, lightning strikes twice. Two high school students' sudden deaths on the same day. Two healthy high school basketball players died suddenly on the same day. Cameron Wheatley, a 17-year-old senior at Brayman High School, collapsed during a game with Chicago High School on February 8, 2022. Meanwhile, in East Texas, Devontae Mumphrey collapsed on the same day and died from a sudden cardiac arrest. News Wars. German TV presenter pushes for mandatory vaccination, then collapses live on the air. You can watch this online. It's kind of cool. She's standing there talking about, you know, you need to be vaccinated and blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden she starts keeling over. I mean, we've got these stars on stage. Remember the last one a week or two ago where she said, Jesus loves me because I've been vaxxed and boosted and he loves me best. And she keels over and cracks her skull. This lady went down for the count as well. A German TV interviewer fainted during a newscast just seconds after she pushed for mandatory vaccinations. The incident happened during a live on-air NTV news broadcast while reporter Clara Pfeffer was interviewing politician Sepp Müller. Pfeffer asks Müller if the country should really wait to implement a mandatory vaccine scheme shortly before she appears to lose consciousness. So you're saying we should only activate mandatory vaccination as soon as it will be vital? Pfeffer asked, adding, won't it be much too late then? Pfeffer then begins mumbling unintelligibly and stares off into the distance, unable to complete her next sentence before appearing to fall over. One news service actually ascribed her falling over to climate change. No kidding. It was a vaccination. She got vaxxed and she keeled over. That's what happened. From Sunday World, this is from February 7th, tributes pour in for kind Leah Carolyn, 19, who died suddenly. Leah Carolyn, 19, was a first-year social care practice student at the Institute of Technology in Sligo, Ireland. I got our friend Doug over in Ireland who does a painting for every one of our sermons, and this person is from the same area. Watch out, Doug. People are keeling over around you. Be careful that they don't keel over and crush you. Gardaí said they did not suspect foul play in the cause of her death. Well, when Pfizer or somebody gives you a jab and you keel over, that's not foul play. From Great Britain News, the music entrepreneur, 31, passed away on Sunday morning at his home in Acton, West London. This is from 222. Jamal Edwards died from a sudden heart attack at the home he lived with his mum. His heartbroken friends say the music entrepreneur, 31, passed away on Sunday morning at his home in Acton, West London, after a DJ set at a bar the night before. From the Huffington Post, this is the dummy of the week. Neil Cavuto returns to Fox Airwaves, reveals he was in ICU. He's in ICU with COVID-19. What does he tell you? Boy, you got to watch out for that coronavirus and, you know, the vaccines aren't working. No, he doesn't do that. The Fox News anchor said it was touch and go for a while and credited the vaccine for saving his life. He got vaccinated. He still got COVID and he ended up in the ICU. That's the dummy of the week. Oh, wait a minute. Gateway Pundit. This is the ultra dummy of the week. New York Lieutenant Governor tests positive for COVID after attending maskless Democrat convention with Hillary Clinton. I tested positive for COVID today. Thankfully, I'm vaxxed, boosted, and in good spirits since I'm only experiencing mild symptoms, Benjamin said in a tweet. Charlie Garrett got COVID a couple weeks ago. It was mild, and I wasn't vaxxed or boosted. So who's the smarter one here? I'm not trying to say I'm smart. I'm just saying that this is an ultra dummy, okay? Times of Israel. Israel to open to unvaccinated tourists starting March 1. Yes, if you want to go to Israel now, you do not have to be vaccinated. What a change a couple months makes. But I'm going to tell you something. I wouldn't trust it too much. I went through that a year and a half ago when I was supposed to go to Israel and participate with another walk with my friends over there. And that didn't happen because all of a sudden they shut down the nation and said nobody's coming in. And it's been up and down, up and down, up and down for people wanting to go for over a year. So I would wait a while to make sure that you actually can go and that they're not going to change their minds before you go making your bookings, okay? Zero Hedge, Queen. Yes, the Queen of England, Elizabeth, experiencing cold-like symptoms after testing positive for COVID. And she is vaxxed and she is boosted. From the Epoch Times, Australian news show apologizes for, you know what I was just thinking? I had mild symptoms like that New York governor, right? And I'm not vaxxed or boosted. And then Neil Cavuto, vaxxed and boosted, and he went into the ICU. So obviously the vaccines don't have any effect at all. Maybe negative on people that are keeling over and having heart attacks and stuff, especially the young. But there you go. I mean, let's use reason when we evaluate the news. We'll go on. Epoch Times, Australian news show apologizes for implying the Queen could benefit from ivermectin. You know what my guess is? They're already giving it to her. That's my guess. But they had to apologize for saying that this could actually help. From the AP, Hong Kong hospitals hit 90% capacity as COVID-19 cases surge. 66.7% fully vaccinated in Hong Kong. Cases are surging. Reuters, Hong Kong earmarks 20,000 hotel rooms for quarantine as COVID cases surge. From NTD, Hong Kong to vaccinate, here it is, three-year-olds amid COVID-19 surge. Three-year-olds. You're going to have more three-year-olds die of whatever they're pumping into those kids than they would ever have died from COVID. Zero Hedge, Ontario government employee fired over $100 contribution to the Freedom Convoy. Government employee, you donated, we're firing you. And I could give you at least 10 other stories just like that. People losing their businesses, people having their assets seized and forfeited because they donated to the Freedom Convoy. Boy, bad times are going on in Canada. I won't say what I think they ought to do to that guy. Epoch Times. Minnesota bill would allow child care centers to deny children with non-medical exemptions. A Minnesota bill seeks to give child care centers and family child care providers the authority to deny children with a non-medical exemption. That means you're exempt because of a religious exemption. They are going to try to say that's no good. That is a lawsuit waiting to happen. That is a violation of our the first of the First Amendment rights, religion. We'll go on. Vaccines from enrolling or remaining enrolled in their care. The bill, HF 3179, would allow child care facilities to ignore a non-medical exemption if they choose to adopt a rule that prohibits children over the age of 2 months who are not completely immunized. Over 2 months! 2 months old, not completely immunized, as required by the state from enrolling or remaining enrolled in the child care center or the family child care program. I would like to remind you before I go on that there are no approved immunizations in the United States of America. None. The one that is approved is not available in the United States of America. So you're forcing people to make these choices when you don't even have a valid vaccine, which would still kill people anyway. We'll go on. Minnesota immunization law only requires a parent or guardian to show documentation of their child's immunizations or a medical or non-medical exemption to enroll in a child care program. A notarized non-medical exemption is allowed when the child's parents conscientiously choose to exempt them from one or all vaccines due to personal, moral, or other beliefs. There you go. They're trying to say that your religious rights have no standing in Minnesota. Zero Hedge, Forbes contributor fired over investigative stories on Fauci. Adam, I can't pronounce his last name. It's a big last name, a Polish last name like this long, so I'm not going to try. So we're just going to call him Adam, okay? Or Adam Ant. We'll call him Adam Ant. Okay. Adam Ant, a contributor to Forbes, told Tucker Carlson that he was terminated from the magazine over his coverage of NIAID director Dr. Anthony Fauci. Adam Ant, who recently made headlines with his investigative reporting that Fauci was the highest paid employee in the entire U.S. federal government, described how he was targeted for being critical of Dr. Anthony Fauci and exposing his yearly earnings. The NIH's six top executives wrote an email to myself and Randall Lane, the top content officer at Forbes. It was couched as a corrections email, but there were no substantial corrections. Then they quibbled about small things in my column. But that was the excuse Forbes used to cancel it. He explained that within 24 hours of the email, he received a call that told him he was barred from publishing any additional material regarding Fauci. Adam Ant originally filed a FOIA request on January 28th of 2021. He's been working at this for a while regarding Fauci's annual pay. After receiving only redacted documents, his group, OpenTheBooks.com, filed suit on October 25th. This led to the National Institute of Health agreeing to release its extensive documents, but only incrementally over the next 14 months due to backed-up requests. OpenTheBooks.com also originally reported in January 2021 that Fauci's salary had been listed at $417,608, the highest salary listed for any government figure, including anybody in the White House or in the Congress or anybody else. In addition, Fauci has a retirement package that is expected to take in approximately $350,000 per year. Adam Ant also explained that his investigative work showed that Fauci's wife, Christine Grady, had a similarly high salary. If you take their salaries, tack on the taxpayer-paid cost of federal benefits at 30%, the two Faucis, their household income paid for by taxpayers every year is $900,000. That's just the pay. That's not everything else. Adam Ant said, commenting on this sad development, Adam Ant wrote that Dr. Fauci controls the organs of state authority. If you are an independent voice, you are in jeopardy. Unfortunately, we are now an example. Forbes was a key platform for nearly 8 years. I published 206 oversight pieces and 250,000 words of investigation on the platform. It's too bad that Forbes folded under the pressure from Fauci's federal bureau. From the expose, media normalizing heart conditions shows their complicity in their crimes against humanity. An increase in heart conditions has been seen in the United Kingdom and the U.S. We've reported on that again and again and again over the past 6 months. Yet the media have been working hard trying to normalize the heart conditions and are now even attributing them to everyday acts. They are still ignoring the more likely cause of the increase, which is that of vaccine damage and their reluctance to warn the public of the potential adverse effects from taking the vaccine is adding to them being complicit in crimes against humanity. We have been seeing this refusal to address the obvious elephant in the room from back in September 2021, when the Times had reported that the health experts had been left baffled by a big rise in a common and potentially fatal type of heart attack in the west of Scotland. The increase amounted to 25% more individuals than was typically rushed to the Golden Jubilee National Hospital in Clydebank, the largest of its kind in the UK, and treats people from five health board areas, receives 240 patients a month suffering from this form of heart attack. But this rose to more than 300 over May, June, and July. These patients were all diagnosed with partially blocked arteries, cutting the blood supply to the heart. But it was a mystery rise, according to the Times. We know, of course, that correlation does not equal causation, but there was no mention of a rise in black pudding suppers consumed or the fact that there had been a vaccine rollout of an experimental gene therapy jab just a few months previously. Now it seems the mainstream media are just inventing their own reasons as to why we are seeing more cases of heart issues. Now, they would have you believe that it could be how you prepare your bed and what you do when you get in it that could be the cause of your future heart condition. Again, from the expose, deaths among triple vaccinated increased 495% in January, with the vaccinated accounting for 4 in every 5 COVID-19 cases, hospitalizations, and deaths since December. Official data from Public Health Scotland confirms the vaccinated population have accounted for 4 in every 5 COVID-19 cases, hospitalizations, and deaths over the past 2 months. Now, I want you to know before I finish reading this that we're going to have another article that follows us on this particular situation. But this expose, the people doing this article, always give you links directly to Health Scotland. Now, remember that. Everything they're saying here, they don't just ask you to believe it. They give you the links to Health Scotland, and they show you where the figures are. Remember that when we get to the next article. But a side-by-side comparison of those 2 months suggests the COVID-19 booster campaign has been a complete failure because the percentage of COVID-19 cases, hospitalizations, and deaths have all gone down in the unvaccinated population, whilst increasing drastically in the triple vaccinated population. Nicola Sturgeon, the First Minister of Scotland, has insisted that mask wearing and vaccine passports will remain in Scotland, despite Prime Minister of the UK scrapping both requirements at the end of January and pledging to possibly scrap all remaining restrictions towards the end of February. Mask wearing, as anyone with an ounce of intelligence should know, is of course completely pointless because the virus is small enough to penetrate the holes found in surgical masks and FFP3 masks. So the cloth masks sold by Dr. Julia Grace Patterson, an unregistered doctor who is really a psychiatrist, and her every doctor venture are just borderline idiotic. But what's fast becoming even more idiotic is the idea that a vaccine passport system is the way forward, because official Public Health Scotland data shows it is the vaccinated who are most likely to spread COVID-19. It is the vaccinated who are most likely to be hospitalized with COVID-19. And it is the vaccinated who are most likely to die of COVID-19. Think of Neil Cavuto. He almost punched his ticket. Public Health Scotland published a weekly COVID-19 statistical report containing data on COVID-19 cases, hospitalizations, and deaths by vaccination status. Overall cases have dropped in the last month in all demographics, significantly compared to the number of cases recorded between 11 December and January 7, 2022. But in both months, the vaccinated have accounted for the vast majority of cases. The main difference between the 2 months is that the double vaccinated accounted for the majority of cases between 11th December and 8th January 2022, recording 145,890 cases. But the triple vaccinated accounted for the majority of cases between 8th January and 4th February 2022, recording 46,951 cases. However, despite cases declining in all demographics over the past 2 months, the data is still quite concerning in regards to the effectiveness of the COVID-19 injections, because as is illustrated in the following chart, which they link to, the percentage of COVID-19 cases in the unvaccinated has decreased, whilst the percentage of cases among the vaccinated has increased significantly, but mainly in the triple jabbed. Then he gives you all the statistics, and then the article continues. This means that despite cases falling among all demographics, they actually fell the most among the not vaccinated, single vaccinated, and double vaccinated, with the lowest drop coming in the triple vaccinated. This doesn't make sense if the COVID-19 vaccines are effective. Clearly they are not, at least when it comes to preventing infection. Okay. From the Glasgow Times, Glasgow is in Scotland, okay? COVID data will not be published over concerns it's misrepresented by anti-vaxxers. Everything I just read you and I've been reading you from the expose concerning Scotland will now no longer be available. They're going to hide the data. And they say over concerns it's misrepresented by anti-vaxxers. You want to know how it's misrepresented? They link directly to everything that they cite. They give you a link to every single one of them so you can check yourself. You tell me how that's misrepresented. Public Health Scotland will stop publishing data on COVID deaths and hospitalizations by vaccination status over concerns it is misrepresented by anti-vax campaigners. Instead, officials will focus on publishing more robust and complex vaccine effectiveness data PHS officials said significant concerns about the data being misused deliberately by anti-vaccination campaigners is behind the move. Okay, now I have admitted this when I've read the expose in the past. He gives you facts, he gives you figures, and he tells you what's going on. But he also makes predictions. And when he does, I always say, we'll see if this comes out. And his predictions are not really good. Okay, everybody's going to have AIDS in the UK in the next 37 minutes and it doesn't pan out. But his data links directly to Scottish Health or UK Health or, you know, the CDC. So that's what you need to know. Forget his predictions. Just look at the data that he links and the statistics he provides. We'll go on. The report published on Wednesday will be the last weekly publication to include the data on infection rates among the vaccinated and unvaccinated because it tells the true story. It also includes hospitalization and death rates broken down by the number of doses received. Officials said two issues relating to the unvaccinated population and testing habits meant the data was no longer robust and open for misrepresentation without context. The population data used for the unvaccinated population is based on GP registration details, meaning it includes people who are registered but may not live in Scotland. Okay, so you have a couple people that are visiting and they get sick and they go into the hospital. Most of the people that it is dealing with are people that are Scottish. Okay, that's where they live. That's where they get sick. That's where they go to the hospital. This is ridiculous. As the vaccinated population grows, this flaw in the data becomes more pronounced due to the true number of unvaccinated people being much lower than the number used. One PHS official said, focusing on vaccine effectiveness. Well, we've already shown that the vaccines are wholly, entirely, and completely ineffective. They might last for a month or two, then you've got to get another shot, then you've got to get another shot, and then you've got to get another shot. And anything that happens to you from the day that you're vaccinated until the 14th day after you're vaccinated, whether you get COVID or whether you die from the shot or anything else, is not counted. It's only after it's fully settled into your body and starting to kill you that they accept it. So the entire premise, it is all faulty. It is all a lie. We'll go on. Rather than the existing very simple statistics would result in a much more robust data for the public. They said, the main important point around all of the analysis is we understand whether the vaccines are working against catching it and against getting severe COVID, and that's where the vaccine effectiveness studies come in, which are completely different methodology. It does not stop you from getting it. I have reported on dozens, if not hundreds, of people that are in the limelight, like Neil Cavuto and the Queen and Charles and his girlfriend and all these other people that have gotten COVID again and again and again. We've reported on them, hundreds of them probably. They represent the population. And if all of these famous people are getting it, that means everybody else is getting it too, which is borne out in every one of these articles. And these are not right-wing kooks. These are people giving you statistics that are linked. The case rates, hospitalization rates, the death rates are very simple statistics. Whereas for the vaccine effectiveness studies, we use modeling. We compare people who have tested negative to those who have tested positive and match them on their underlying comorbidities. It's a completely different method, which is more robust and that we want people to focus on. What we are going to do is a lot more on the vaccine effectiveness side and try and make people understand how effective the vaccine is. Well, it's 100% ineffective, and so don't bother. For example, they say, listen to this. We know it is 50% effective against getting infected. That's for 4 months. But that is much higher effectiveness against hospitalizations and deaths, which is the key thing, really, as that's what we want to prevent. Ask Neil Cavuto about that. And further, vaccines and immunizations are supposed to keep you from getting it, not to keep you from getting less sick. That was never what a vaccine was for, ever in the history of vaccines, until the CDC changed the parameters just a couple months ago. Mail Online. White House claims U.S. government will have to spend $22 million a month. Okay, wow, that's a lot of money for the U.S. government. They're going to go broke. $22 million a month to test unvaccinated federal employees if courts fail to reverse the injunction on his vaccine mandate. $22 million if you don't reverse course on this injunction. $22 million. Next article. Mail Online. Biden requests $30 billion more. You could pay that $22 million a month for the next 100 years and not come up to $30 billion. Not even close. $30 billion more to help fund the COVID response. White House sets up clash with Republicans with another request for stimulus despite surging inflation. Jen Psaki explained that the $30 billion requested by the admin would ensure, here it is, we are all well prepared to stay ahead of the virus. Well, isn't that what testing is for? And if these people don't want that garbage pumped into their bodies, they have a right to not do so. What's $22 million when you're spending $30 billion on a program that will not work? Epic Times. Philadelphia drops COVID-19 vaccine passports for restaurants. Once again, it's an election year. Epic Times. New Mexico, another lefty state, lifts statewide indoor mask mandate. Election year. Epic Times, leading from behind. Yes, leading from behind. CDC hints COVID mask mandate will end next week, now that states have moved first. They've been doing this all along, leading from behind, pushing, and never making the right decision. Breitbart, FDA executive, coronavirus vaccines have not been as effective as expected. That's an FDA executive. I would say rather that they are completely, wholly, and 100% ineffective. And not only that, they are damaging to people's health. I have a friend that got a vaccine some time ago, and it has ruined his heart. Okay? Don't tell me about vaccine effectiveness, and it's not as effective as it should have been. They are ineffective, they are harmful, and people are dying because of this. Epic Times. Italy bars unvaccinated adults age 50 and older from workplaces. If you're over 50, you can't work anymore unless you're pumped full of vaccine. Zero hedge. Forced vaccination policy in Austria has, listen to this, they're forcing people now. If you don't get vaccine, you have to stay inside forever. You can never go out. You can't buy anything. Blah, 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 blah. Has no impact on jab uptake. People aren't buying it. Austria's best-selling newspaper says the government's introduction of a mandatory vaccination policy has had no discernible impact on jab uptake in the nation's capital and could have even caused a drop-off. Since the compulsory jab mandate came into force on February 5th, Kronen Zeitung reports that the law actually caused a reduction in the number of people being vaccinated. There's no mandatory vaccination effect, and if there is, then rather in the other direction. There was a significant reduction in the number of people getting vaccinated on February 6, one day after the mandate was imposed, a trend that was also noted on February 12. All in all, the Austrian instruments relating to measures and vaccination do not result in a well-rounded strategy and have no recognizable goal. The Office of City Councilor for Health, Peter Hacker, told Kronen Zeitung. This is why no run on vaccines is to be expected in the coming days and weeks. While the mandate failed to boost vaccination rates, it did succeed as promoting Canadian trucker-style protests in Austria. And it also has ruined a lot of people's lives. Totally unnecessarily. Epic Times, 26% of COVID-19 hospitalizations admitted for other reasons. This has been going on for a year and a half now. Might as well add in another article on it. About a quarter of hospitalized COVID-19 patients were admitted for other reasons, according to a new study. Research with the Massachusetts, there are a bunch of liberals up there. Massachusetts General Hospital led the study, which analyzed a random selection of electronic health records from COVID-19 patients in 60 hospitals across four U.S. healthcare systems. Researchers manually reviewed the charts for the admissions, which occurred between March 20th and August 2021. They then classified each admission as with COVID-19, described as incidental or for COVID-19. Some 26% of the patients were confirmed as incidental admissions. For 6% of the patients, researchers couldn't make a determination. The rest were admitted for COVID-19. Incidental admissions were categorized as having symptoms unlikely to be related to COVID-19 for reasons such as trauma, pregnancy, or an operation requiring hospitalization. Admissions for COVID-19 were categorized as having manifestations attributable to the disease, such as blood clotting to vital organs or common viral symptoms such as cough or fever. The researcher said the study highlighted critical gaps in accurately reporting poor outcomes from COVID-19, asserting that misclassification of incidental COVID-19 during hospitalizations raises research and public health concerns. From the Epoch Times, CDC estimates over 1 million excess deaths in U.S. since COVID-19 pandemic. An analysis by the Epoch Times of death certificate data from the CDC also showed that deaths among individuals aged 18 to 49 increased more than 40% in the 12 months ending October 2021, compared to the same 12-month period in 2018-2019. The majority of the deaths were not linked to COVID-19. Huh. This confirms the claims made by insurance agencies over the past 2 months. Vax deaths are certainly the case. We've got 40% increase in deaths that are not attributed to COVID-19, and that means that the vaccine is the only possible common denominator, unless people just suddenly have evolved into dying of heart attacks. Epoch Times. Heart inflation manifested unusually in two boys who died shortly after getting Pfizer vaccine. What a sad article I'm going to read you. Not so much that they died. People die all the time. But listen to this. Autopsies of two boys who died shortly after getting Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine indicate heart inflammation was the primary cause of death, medical examiners found. Both boys were found dead in their beds, one 3 days after receiving the second dose of Pfizer's vaccine and the other 4 days after the receipt of the second dose. Now, remember, that's within the 14-day window, so they can't be reported as vaccine-related injuries. Both were pronounced dead without attempts at resuscitation. Neither boy was named. This is what I find really sad. And the dates of death were not made clear. Researchers dubbed the one who died earlier Boy A and the other Boy B. That's their memorial to history. Boy A died. Boy B died. Don't even give their names. There's no memory of them. Pfizer killed these children. It's murder. And they get an A and a B to identify who they are. Zero Hedge. Doctors group demands investigation in the sudden increase in young male deaths in the United Kingdom. A group of UK doctors, scientists, economists, psychologists, and other academic experts have called for an immediate investigation into the increasing death rate amongst 15 to 19-year-old males. The organization HEART, set up to share concerns about policy and the guidance recommendations relating to the COVID-19 pandemic, has written to the British government over a rise in deaths in young males. To HEART, the concern is that this time period coincides, with the rollout of vaccinations to this age group, who are known to be at an increased risk of myocarditis, meaning heart inflammation, especially after the second dose. Think of Boy A and Boy B. As part of a judicial review at the High Court in January, the Office for National Statistics confirmed that there had been a rise in the death rate for adolescent males over the last 8 months, compared to the same time period of 2015 to 2019. But the UNS also said that data could not either be used to draw any reliable conclusions as to potential correlation between vaccination status and death in the children and young adults. There have been at least 65 extra deaths in England and Wales, though the figure may be higher due to reporting delays for coroners' cases. During the same time frame, there were only 2 deaths involving COVID-19. It is not suggested that the observed increase in mortality proves that COVID-19 vaccines are causing death, whether via myocarditis or some other mechanism, but a connection cannot be excluded. I would say not. This is why they are calling on authorities to investigate. Craig added that despite good public health monitoring in Britain, there is a glaring hole where no one is looking at these deaths, but passive surveillance relies on someone suspecting or making a connection. Well, we've been making the connection here for months and months and months based on data supplied directly from NIH England or whatever, Scotland and all these different places, and the CDC. From the National Pulse, U.S. government advisors shred documents detailing Fauci agency's Obama-era work with the Wuhan lab. Huh, that's not suspicious. Gateway Pundit, Board of Health suppresses father's testimony about his son's death following Pfizer shot because it disclosed health information of minor without authorization. Well, let's see. The minor can't give authorization because he's dead, and the father can't give authorization because he's only the father. That makes as much sense as a football bat. Breitbart. Four Senate Republicans failed to show up for a vote on amendment defunding vaccine mandates, ensuring failure. Would have failed anyway, and Biden would have, you know, turned it down. He would have vetoed it. But these four senators did not show up to at least make a stand. Here they are. The Senate voted on Senate Mike Lee's, he's a Republican from Utah, amendment to the continuing resolution, which would defund Biden's remaining vaccine mandates. The measure failed 46-47 with Senators Mitt Romney, Jim Inhofe, Lindsey Graham, and Richard Burr failing to show up, depriving Senate Republicans a potential majority to pass the amendment to the CR. Breitbart. Marine Corps announces 640 Marines discharged over vaccine mandate. Once again, no approved vaccine has been administered in the United States of America. It doesn't exist. They have an approved vaccine, but it's not being administered. And our Marines are being pushed out of service because they're not taking an experimental use authorization jab. Pushed out. This is against the law. This is against the Nuremberg codes. This is criminal. The Biden administration, every single one of them, should be rounded up. They should be taken to prison. They should be tried. And then you do whatever you do to traitors of the nation. That is what should happen. From the Washington Free Beacon, Pentagon stonewalls probe into COVID vaccine mandate. The Pentagon has repeatedly stonewalled a congressional investigation into the Biden admin's coronavirus vaccine mandate for military members and is withholding info about the number of active duty service members who could be expelled from the military for refusing the vaccine. For 4 months, Senator Ron Johnson, ranking member of the Senate's Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, has been pressing the DOD to turn over information related to the military's coronavirus vaccine mandate, including the total number of shots administered across all service branches. The Pentagon has broken its promise to provide this information on two separate occasions. Generating accusations, the Biden admin is withholding this data from Congress. The Biden admin's refusal to be transparent with Congress about the military vaccine mandate is reaching a critical juncture as many active duty military members face expulsion for refusing the shot. It's an experimental shot and they're being expelled. Around 40,000 active service members in the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines, 40,000 face expulsion for challenging the vaccine mandate, though the number could be higher or lower, according to unofficial estimates by congressional investigators. As the Pentagon stonewalls congressional probes into the matter, whistleblowers have stepped forward with internal Pentagon documents about the vaccine mandate. They appear to confirm that around 8% of active duty military members are still unvaccinated and stand to be booted for their refusal. They ought to be labeled as champions, as heroes. Instead, they're being kicked out. You know what I'd like to see? If Trump wins or we get a decent Republican win in a couple more years when Biden is out or whoever is the president at the time, if they win, I would love to see them come back and offer every single military member that is booted right now full pay and full benefits that they have lost. And then so you can come back in or not, and we will give you a retirement plan because you were kicked out without authorization. That's what I would like to see them do. Remember what Biden was going to do. He's going to give $450,000 to every immigrant that had its child separated from him. Can you imagine that? Illegal immigrants coming here, they separate the children from them, and they were going to give millions, maybe billions of dollars away to these people. We could do the same for our military, and I think we need to remember this. And if we get a decent Republican like Trump in there, we need to suggest that he does this. You people were treated unfairly by the United States military. The military is going to pay for it, and you are going to have a lifetime retirement for your ill treatment. That's what I think should happen. Breitbart, Ottawa threatens to take away animals of Freedom Convoy protesters. That sounds fair. These are insurrectionists and they're terrorists. Take away their animals. Mail Online, warning that Australians could need, here it comes, five doses of a COVID-19 vaccine to be considered fully protected. And the people who should already be getting four jabs. They're saying everybody should have four jabs at this point. Four. Two was supposed to do it forever. And then it's three, you need a booster. And then they say four, and now they're saying you need five. It will never end. It will never end. They want complete control over you. And if you don't comply, you're going to be like these poor truckers that are now sitting in jail up in Canada because they have a guy that is a complete communist running that nation now. Complete. Mail Online. The masks are off. Here it comes. If you want to go to the Dominican Republic, go. Dominican Republic becomes the first country in Latin America region to drop all of its COVID restrictions. You can fly down there and get on the beach, folks. Breitbart, New Zealand threatens to use military against civilian anti-mandate protesters. The military. They want to bring in the military to get rid of these people sitting out on the grass and protesting. The New Zealand Defense Force warned it was poised to deploy defense force assets, guys with machine guns and helmets and jackboots and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and people sitting on the grass protesting, to Wellington to disband an anti-coronavirus vaccine mandate protest near New Zealand's parliament building after the rally pushed into its ninth consecutive day. An NZDF spokeswoman said discussions on the possible deployment of defense force assets remain ongoing and no decisions have been made. Four defense force vehicles have arrived in Wellington and are on standby should they be required. The NZDF spokeswoman confirmed. How can you say spokeswoman? Isn't that like bigoted or something? Isn't that just terrible that they're calling her a spokeswoman? I'd sue. Anyway, you know what? These people are sitting there unarmed. And you know how you know they're unarmed? Because they're in New Zealand. They're not harming anybody. They're in New Zealand, just like Australia. No gun rights. Okay? They're sitting there and they're being threatened now by the military of New Zealand. I am so glad that we have a Second Amendment here in the United States of America. That's the one thing that they will have to contend with if they start doing this nonsense here. Canada's done. New Zealand, done. Australia, done. The U.S., we'll have to see. All right, so we'll continue. They are being pre-positioned should they be required, but as stated, no decisions have been made about their use to assist the towing operation, she told reporters. Towing operation. What are you going to do? Grab them by their hair like that one woman a week or two ago and pull her across the lawn? Towing operation. Okay, from Town Hall. New Zealand is fining people for not wanting to test for COVID. But that's not the worst part. If this is real, it's not shocking. Australia's gone insane in the COVID era, literally locking down almost everything. They built what could only be described as internment camps. They closed their borders. Everyone was locked in their homes. COVID zero was the name of the game. So it shouldn't be shocking that their neighbor, New Zealand, was equally draconian. Thanks to the great account Libs of TikTok, we have this ticket from someone in Kiwiland. They got a ticket who didn't want to test for COVID. They were fined $330 for not testing for COVID. The creepy part is what happens when you fail to pay the fine. You're subject to arrest. They can seize your bank account. They can restrict your ability to sell property. Oh, and they can prohibit you from traveling. I don't want a COVID test. Ticket. Don't pay the ticket. Get arrested. From the Hill. Study shows political affiliation drove use of ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. Political affiliation. The use of two unproven COVID-19 treatments was higher in counties with a large share of Republican voters in late 2020, according to a study released Friday, suggesting stark political differences in medical decision-making. Well, as far as I'm concerned, the left doesn't have to take any of it. Let them just go the way of the dodo. That doesn't bother me at all anymore. Hydroxychloroquine prescribing volume from June through December 2020 was roughly double what it had been in the previous year. And prescriptions were 150% higher in the most Republican counties than in the least. Hydroxychloroquine is an anti-malarial drug that is also used to treat lupus and rheumatoid arthritis. Early in the pandemic, former President Trump called it a miracle drug for COVID-19, and it has been heavily promoted as a treatment for the virus by Trump allies, despite almost no evidence. No evidence. Because nobody will do a study on it, because that means that if it works, you can't mandate the Pfizer vaccine, and they won't get rich, and people won't die from the vaccines. The FDA issued an emergency use authorization for the drug in late March 2020, oh no, but then revoked it less than 3 months later. After FDA revoked the authorization, prescribing volume was more than twice as high in counties with the largest share of Republican voters. Ivermectin is an anti-parasitic drug used most often in veterinary medicine, though it is authorized in humans for use in curing head lice, roundworm infections, and other parasitic conditions. The drug is not authorized for treating COVID-19, and there is no evidence that it can. But there's no evidence that it can because they're not going to do a study on it, because if it does work like it has in India and Indonesia and everywhere else, then we won't be able to mandate vaccines anymore. So there's no proof that it works. The drug is not authorized for treating COVID-19, but it's gained a following among anti-vaccine groups and right-wing politicians. And in December 2020, prescribing volume was more than 950% higher in the most Republican counties compared to the least. The study noted the spike aligned with several key events, such as mid-November 2020 release of a now-retracted manuscript claiming that the drug was highly effective against COVID-19. Well, they had to pull that one, didn't they? And a widely publicized U.S. Senate hearing in early December that included testimony from a doctor promoting ivermectin as a COVID-19 treatment. Can't have that out there, can we? Okay, we're going to look into the gates of hell right now. Gateway Pundit. Creepy Bill Gates says misinformation enhanced vaccine hesitation and led to deaths. Claims wearing masks is like wearing pants. While speaking on a COVID-19 panel at the Munich Security Conference, Gates referred to the amount of misinformation surrounding his role in the handling of the virus to be wild before appearing to mock critics of himself, Fauci, and other public health figures. You almost have to laugh about it. I mean, you know, Fauci and I are just killing millions of people to make money, Gates quipped. You know, hydroxychloroquine's this miracle cure that he and I have masterminded, avoiding people saving their lives by taking this thing. Well, what happens when you take studies down on stuff like that, or don't do studies at all? Gates added, there's no doubt that misinformation enhanced vaccine hesitancy, and that maps to hundreds of thousands of deaths. I'd like you to stay for the next article if you believe that. There's no doubt that the idea that you know, we know the freedom not to wear a mask, you know, and that's some, you know, thing that you've got to show that in many cases that led to spreading the disease into locations where elderly people had very high death rates. Gates appeared to scoff at the arguments made by politicians and individuals opposed to mask mandates before jokingly comparing grievances against compulsory masking to those against wearing pants in public. What? Just a bad guy. From the Russian Times. Now, he just said, there's no doubt that misinformation enhanced vaccine hesitancy, and that maps to hundreds of thousands of deaths. Here we go. Bill Gates says Omicron sadly spreads immunity faster than vaccines. How can that be? If coronavirus is providing its own immunity, then how can it be that all those deaths occurred because people are questioning the vaccines? Well, we already have how many people week after week after week proven to have died from COVID vaccines, and the amount of information on others that probably did is overwhelming. And he's saying it spreads, Omicron sadly spreads immunity faster than vaccines. He's upset about this because it's the vaccines that he wants to put into you, because it's control. It's all about control. Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates said the COVID-19 Omicron variant had outpaced world vaccine drives in spreading immunity. Oh no, urging health officials around the globe to respond more quickly to the next pandemic. Imagine that. Asked about the world's progress in beating COVID-19 during a panel at the 2022 Munich Security Conference this past Friday, the tech magnate and philanthropist, ooh, that's a big word, credited the coronavirus itself for immunizing populations naturally in some regions. Sadly, he's sad about this. Sadly, the virus itself, particularly the variant called Omicron, is a type of vaccine. That is, it creates both B cell and T cell immunity. And it's done a better job of getting out to the world population than we have with the vaccines, he said. Due to a large amount of infection exposure in certain regions, the risk of serious illness from COVID-19 has been dramatically reduced. Oh, what about all those thousands of people that the anti-vaxxers are supposedly have killed? Gates continued, also noting that severe symptoms are mainly associated with being elderly and having obesity or diabetes. This is something that was said at the very beginning of this pandemic, the very beginning of it. If you're old or if you have comorbidities, you're likely to punch your ticket from this. Nobody else. 99.9999999%, you're going to be okay after getting sick. And then you're going to have natural immunity. Gates spoke with confidence in predicting a new major health crisis on the horizon, telling the panel, we'll have another pandemic, though said it will be a different pathogen next time. To tackle the next outbreak, health authorities and researchers, listen to this, must act more quickly to develop vaccines and treatments. Doesn't that sound like Operation Warp Speed? Remember when Trump was doing it and they were just belittling him and saying, we're not taking that experimental vaccine and it's all Trump, blah, blah, blah. And as soon as he was out of office, all they've done is push those vaccines. That's all they've done. This is a completely political agenda, a monetary agenda, a depopulation agenda. That is all this is. We don't do a great job on therapeutics. Well, I'd say if the word therapeutics means killing people, they do a great job. But that's not what it means throughout the COVID pandemic. Only 2 years in, do we have good therapeutic vaccines? No, we don't. We don't have vaccines that do anything at all. And none of them in the U.S. are approved vaccines. None of them. It took us 2 years to be at oversupply, he said. Next time, instead of 2 years, we should make it more like 6 months. So they're going to develop another thing over in Wuhan. It's going to be worse next time. And then they're going to rush vaccines in 6 months. And so nobody's going to have time to even think. They're not even going to have time to think. And they're going to start pumping it into people. And they'll have us down to a very small population really soon. Fortunately, most of the people first in line will be Democrats. Zero Hedge. California high school caves after students stage walkout over mask mandate. Administrators at the Oak Ridge High School in El Dorado Hills, California, quickly dropped a mask mandate after hundreds of students walked out. The walkout was staged in solidarity with the students whose parents sent them to school without masks, who were subsequently dismissed from class. You know what those children are? They're little terrorists and they're little insurrectionists. That's all they are, because they won't comply. That's what Trudeau says. That's what Biden says. These are terrorists and insurrectionists in the school system of the United States of America, according to Justin Trudeau and Joe Biden. Terrorists and insurrectionists, because they don't want to participate in the lie that is going on around them. My hat is off to those kids. All right, I'd like to read you something from the Bible. I'm going to take you to Psalm 90. This is a wonderful psalm, and we're just going to take it. And it's the oldest psalm in the Bible, by the way. It's a psalm of Moses. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. They are like sheep. In the morning they are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up. In the evening it is cut down and withers. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they are 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Jesus Christ came to die for the sins of the people of the world. That's the answer to everything that is going on in the world right now. He came, he gave his life, and he died to pay for your sin debt. All of this stuff about Democrats and Republicans and viruses and vaccines, that's all just temporary stuff. We've got to live through it because the Bible is written. Amen is the last word in the Bible, and all of that stuff in Revelation is going to come to pass, and it's going to be terrible. But if you want to avoid that, and if you want to be in the presence of the Lord for all eternity, what you want to do is to just simply believe the gospel. Christ died for your sins. Christ was buried. Christ rose again. If you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. And Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the Son of God, fully God and fully man. I would pray that you would make the right decision today. Do it. And so, from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your midweek CG Prophecy Report.